Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 66, Pondraka the False Vasudev. Text number 7 and 8. Okay. Sri Sukha Uvacha, Katananta Rupa Karnya, Pondraka Shyalpa Medashaha. Ugrasena dhaya shabya, Uchakaya jaha shrishtada. Translation, Shukadev Goswami said King Ugrasena and the other members of the assembly laughed loudly when they heard this vain boasting of unintelligent Pondraka. There's no purport, so good text to hate. Uvacha dutam bhagavan parihasya katam anu utsrakshye mudha chinani yashtam evam vikatashe. Translation, the personality of Godhead, after enjoying the jokes of the assembly, told the messenger to relay a message to his master. Quote, you fool, I will indeed let loose the weapons you boast of in this way. Unquote. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Sanskrit word utsrakshe means I will hurl, throw, let loose, abandon, etc. I believe this is redundant knowledge, is that correct? Foolish Pondraka demanded that Lord Krishna give up his powerful weapons such as the disc and the club, and here the Lord replies, utsrakshe mudha chinani. Yes, fool, I will indeed let loose these weapons when we meet on the battlefield. In Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srila Prabhupada nicely describes this scene as follows. Quote, when all the members of the Royal Assembly, including King Ugrasena, heard this message sent by Pondraka, they laughed very loudly for a considerable time. After enjoying the loud laughter of all the members of the Assembly, Krishna replied to the messenger as follows. O messenger of Pondraka, you may carry my message to your master. He is a foolish rascal. I directly call him a rascal, and I refuse to follow his instructions. I shall never give up the weapons of Vasudeva, especially my disc. I shall use this disc to kill not only Pondraka, but all his followers as well. I shall destroy this Pondraka and his foolish associates, who merely constitute a society of cheaters and the cheated. Translations again. Shukadev Goswami said, King Ugrasena and the other members of the assembly laughed loudly when they heard this vain boasting of the unintelligent Pondraka. The personality of Godhead, after enjoying the jokes of the assembly, told the messenger to relay a message to his master. You fool, I will indeed let loose the weapons you boast of in this way. It was so nice to enter into the temple room and hear His Holiness Radha Swami leading kirtan. I was wondering if this is sickness, what is health? And I think that somebody made a mistake in a seating arrangement here today. I think Mara should be sitting here and I should be sitting there. But anyway, it's nice to be back in New Roman Radio after 5 long years. I was going over these verses this morning in my room, and the first thought that came to mind is that this pastime in Prabhupada's purports remind me very much of His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj's classic video. I think it was called God's Competitor, wherein Maharaj systematically removes his audience's misconceptions as to who is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And central to his discourse, and the theme, of course, was the verse he quoted by Parashara Muni, who of course we know is the father of Śrīla Vyāsadeva. And Prabhupada would often quote this verse as well to establish who is actually God. Aishvaryasya Shama Grishya Viryasya Yashasya Shriya Jnana Vairagya Yoshchaiva Sadi Bhagam Yukana. That person who possesses all wealth, strength, fame, beauty, knowledge, and renunciation, that person is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, known as Bhagavan. So in his talk, Maharaj so expertly, again, that's a classic video, classic presentation of Krishna consciousness. After comparative study, Shiva is ruled out, with all due respect. Brahma, Ganesh, Surya, etc. What to speak of a foolish rascal like Pundraka, who's simply a mortal jiva, leaving us with the conclusion that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he displays those six opulences in full. And you could say the conclusion of that video is Ashram Udva. Prabhupada liked to use that phrase. He said, this is a line from Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada would say, Ashram Udva, that no one is equal to and no one is greater than Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, Kaviraj Goswami concludes the theme in his Chaitanya Charitamrita. Ekale Ishvara Krishna Arashabha Bhritya Yara Yachi Nachaya Setai Chikari Nritya. Lord Krishna alone is the Supreme Controller and all others are his servants. They dance as he makes them dance. Unfortunately, history has shown time and time again that certain living entities being, the Prabhupada would use the term puffed up, will become proud of some little power they derive by dint of some past pious activity or whatever. They become very arrogant and they think, and their followers also think, that they have become the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not sometimes. I remember I was with Prabhupada in Hyderabad. He was giving a lecture. I believe it was actually opening the Hyderabad temple. And Prabhupada was speaking in the same theme, people posing themselves as incarnations, impostors, etc. He became a little upset. And he said, actually, there's an incarnation of God on every street corner of Bombay. But no matter how powerful a person may become, and people can become very powerful, you see. Even the demons may become very powerful. Hiranyakashipu actually conquered the entire universe and has described that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes that Narada Muni was his foot servant. Sometimes the demons get the upper hand. But they can never equal the Supreme Personality of God. At best, they can fake it. They can fake it. I remember a prominent incarnation who came to San Francisco in the 1960s. He was challenged by early 70s. He was challenged by a ISKCON devotee, as Prabhupada taught us to challenge. We meant to challenge and establish the supremacy of Lord Sri Krishna and the glories of his pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada. One time a Prabhupada said, why is no one challenging these rascals? We have to challenge to establish who's who. So this so-called incarnation, God's competitor, this imposter, this rascal, devotee sat down before him and knowing Prabhupada's preaching and the arguments that he armed us with, he said, so, in front of all his followers, he challenged him. He said, so, if you're God, if you're Krishna, then show us your universal form. So their incarnation was sitting there for some time. And then he said to the ISKCON devotee, so you can see? So the devotee said, no, ha, 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 ha. And the incarnation said, you can't see because I'm not giving you the eyes to see. Because you're challenging me, you're not submissive like my devotee Arjuna 5,000 years ago. I'm not showing you. I said to Arjuna, Natu mam shakshase drashtam ani naiva svachakshusha divyam dadamite chakshu pashyame yogam aishvaryam. Arjuna, you cannot see me with your present eyes, therefore I give you divine eyes. Behold my mystic opulence. So this incarnation said, so I'm not showing you. Become submissive like my followers. Can you all see? Yes, we can see. And Prabhupada sums this up in the last line of the purport. Society of cheaters and cheaters. So this nonsense, and it's nonsense, this was, is, and it will go on. But we should know that any jiva who claims to be God, that's the zenith of his false ego. We all have false ego, otherwise we wouldn't be here. I, me, and mine, we're all a little guilty. We've got a little pondraka in all of us. But the zenith of that false ego is to consider oneself to be the Supreme Personality of God. And that's actually the worst offense. Therefore, Mahaprabhu concluded, Mayavadi Krishna Aparadi. Of all the offenders to Krishna, the Mayavadis are the greatest because they want to take over his position, usurp him, claim to be him. Mayavadi Krishna Aparadi. But actually, if one thinks about it with a clear mind, it's ludicrous to think that something so small as a jiva could become something so great as God. You do the math. You do the math. Simple as that. People are confused because they don't have the clear, concise purports to Prabhupada's books. But if you read those books, perfect. Everyone can be a Jayadvaita Swami, undefeatable. The dimension of the soul is given by Srila Prabhupada in the initial purports to Bhagavad Gita. 1/10,000 is the tip of a hair in dimension. But Krishna describes himself in Gita as, well, one of his forms is the Virata Rupa, universal form. And how does something 1/10,000th the tip of a hair compared to the entire universe? Duh. It's just ludicrous. It's actually funny. Well, you're laughing. Yesterday on the way to the airport, from my airport hotel to the airport, this massive truck went by, like what they call them, 20-ton truck, a Mack truck or something here in America, a Mack truck. And this lady, I was standing waiting with her for the shuttle to the airport, and she had a chihuahua. I don't know why they call those dogs chihuahuas, but chihuahua. And it mustn't have been bigger than this. It was full grown, but it's only this big. But mean as anything. It looked at me and went, but when that 20-ton truck passed by, that tiny chihuahua jumped out of her arms and started chasing the 20-ton truck. And barking and trying to bite at the wheels, you know, she was all, ah. But that little chihuahua thought he could bring down the truck. So I was thinking, this is a nice example for class tomorrow in Latua. The audacity of living entity to take on, to become God's competitor. To try to bring down the Supreme Personality and declare oneself to be God himself. So when the associates of Lord Krishna saw Pondraka pretending, faking it, you know, with his symbols of Vishnu, wearing the four symbols of Vishnu, they just broke down laughing. It was so ridiculous. Although it's not mentioned in these purports, in Prabhupada's summary of the 10th canto, the Krishna book, he says that Lord Krishna also could not check his laughter. And Krishna laughed with great satisfaction. I think that's so nice, to hear the Lord can have a good laugh. It's very revealing because generally people have a conception of God that he's very, very grave and he's very, very serious and his main role is on Judgment Day. When the souls come forward and the pious souls are elevated to heaven and the sinners are sent to hell. In the Bible, in Deuteronomy, I believe it's 6:15, we get an impression of this. Of course, we also say God is very grave, serious. He becomes very angry. When Shem becomes very angry, the personification of his anger is Nishringadev. So there in Deuteronomy, it says, "The Lord who is amongst you is a jealous God, and his anger will burn you, and he will wipe you from the face of the earth." You're going to surrender? Yes, I surrender. One surrenders out of fear or out of love. So Prabhupada was so kind that we surrendered to him and to Krishna on the principle of love, that Krishna is so sweet and reciprocates with our loving sentiments. Yes, he can become a Shringadev, but generally the Lord is sweet most of the time. After all, the incarnation of the Shringadev was a special incarnation. He came primarily to deliver one devotee. Generally, when the Lord comes, paritranaya sadhanam vinashaya duskritam dharma samstapanam. He comes for three reasons. One, to deliver his devotees, to annihilate the miscreants, and to reestablish the principles of religion. So we read in the Bhagavatam, Krishna's various incarnations, 10 principal incarnations, they come, they stay for a while. They deliver a lot of devotees. They annihilate lots of miscreants, and they do various, Krishna does various things to reestablish Dharma. Shringadev, he came, he fought, Dharanyakashipu, he accepted the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj, and he went back to Vaikuntha. So yes, Krishna has his angry features, but time, place, and circumstance. Generally, he's very sweet. Adaram, madaram, badanam, madaram. Nayanam madaram hastitam madaram. Vidayam madaram gamanam madaram. Madhuradi patir akilim madaram. Balabhacharya. Actually, I read a purport the other day by Bhakti Shananta Saraswati Thakur in which he was glorifying Balabhacharya. Usually we have our differences because he had a few differences with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He sort of started his own side. But in this particular purport, Bhakti Shinoda Saraswati was glorifying. He did much to establish the Vaishnav culture around the world. So we sing that song because he describes Krishna as very sweet. His lips are sweet, his face is sweet, his eyes are sweet, his smile is sweet, his heart is sweet, his gait. Nice way to talk about walking. His gait is sweet. Everything is sweet about the emperor of sweetness. And in the third canto of this Bhagavatam, Lord Kapila, he states that a yogi should meditate on the Lord, the form of the Lord, within his heart, and he should begin by meditating on the feet of the Lord, then he should move to the Lord's knees, then to his waist, and then finally he should meditate on the smiling face of the Lord, but then he adds, one should also meditate on the laughter of the Lord. Nicely described by the people there. Jnana yanam prahashitam bahula dharashtha. Prahashitam means the laughter. One should meditate on the laughter of the Lord. Specifically, he says, with devotion steeped in love and devotion, the yogi should meditate within the core of his heart upon the laughter of Lord Vishnu. The laughter of Vishnu is so captivating that it can easily be meditated. When the Supreme Lord is laughing, one can see his small teeth, which resemble jasmine buds, rendered rosy by the splendor of his lips. Once devoting his mind to this, the yogi should no longer desire to see anything else. And Prabhupada says something very, very interesting to help us appreciate the laughter of the Lord. In his purport, Prabhupada said, it is described herein that one should meditate on the laughter or smiling of Vishnu, then he says, there is no better activity that can completely cleanse the heart of a devotee. So, we want to cleanse our hearts. of all the nasty things like lust, anger, and greed. So according to that particular purport in the third canto, the best means to cleanse the heart of lust and anger and greed is to meditate upon the laughter of Krishna. So this morning we can cleanse our hearts by meditating on the Lord and his devotees laughing at the foolishness of Pundaka. There you go, laugh. Cheto darkana marjanam. Now your heart is cleansed. And this laughing, it will also prepare us for going home. Where is home? Alachua, London, no. Golok Premdan Harinam Shnam Kirtan. The Sankirtan movement, the chanting of the holy names, has descended on this planet to deliver us through the process of chanting Hare Krishna back home, back to Goloka Vrindavan. And what happens in Goloka Vrindavan? Well, Narottam Das Thakur has sung in his Vrindavan Ramyashtan, Hasya Parihasya Shambhashani. In Vrindavan, Krishna and his devotees are always talking, joking, and laughing. So we're getting ready today to go back to Vrindavan. Lots of laughter. So easy to laugh at this foolishness of Pundaka. Of course, you know, in another sense, Pundaka's imitation of Krishna is no laughing matter. Therefore, when Pundaka said to the Lord, Utsrake, give up your weapons, Krishna. Krishna replied, okay, I'll give them up. How will you give them up? Utsrake mudha chinani yashtvam. I'll throw them at you. All right. So both, obviously, one of the central points of this Leela is that both Pundaka and Krishna were displaying weapons, because Krishna, that's his symbols. He just like we have symbols. We have Vaishnav Tilak, we have Kuntimala, to identify ourselves as the servants of the Lord. But Krishna alone has the symbols of Vishnu, the conch, the wheel, the disc, the world, like that. These belong to him only. So there's a world of difference between the weapons which were displayed by Pundaka and the weapons which were eternally displayed by Krishna. Actually, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur goes into great detail to describe that the weapons of Lord Krishna, especially Vishnu, they're all expansions of Balaram. Balaram expands as the Lord's chamara, he expands as the Lord's seat, he expands as the Lord's bed, he very mercifully expands as the dom. This is his servant, this is his service to his younger brother, Krishna. So one of the expansions of Lord Balaram is the weapons. So there's no way that these weapons could have fallen into the hands of a rascal like Pundaka. As we'll see later on in this chapter, Pundaka was actually, what he was displaying were probably at best paper cutouts. So finally, the Lord employed his to deal with this rascal, because argumum ad baculum. Sometimes when there's disagreement, in Vedic culture, Chanaka Panta describes that there's some disagreement, you have some, you know, strong opposition from some minister or something. Then first you offer him some sweet words. You are such a helpful minister, I'm so proud of you. You know, I'm going to proclaim your glories in my next speech. And then the person's pacified. If that doesn't work, then you, I believe you give him a position, you upgrade him somewhere, and you get a better position. And then I forget the third one. Huh? You what? Oh, that, I don't know if that's there, but it probably works. That's modern day India. But the last one is argumum ad baculum. Use the stick. I see, okay, thank you. Are you Kshatriya? You create dissension in their camp? That doesn't work, then argument, use the stick. So it appears that Krishna just felt at one particular point this his suitor son had to be employed, just like Shishupal. Shishupal was born cursing Krishna. Most of us come out of the womb speaking some kind of nonsense. Shishupal was such a demon that his first words were cursing Krishna. And he went on and on and on, and wherever he had the opportunity, he would speak up. And so at one point, Krishna just had enough of it, because it was not good for Shishupal, because the more you offend the Lord, the deeper into the hellish regions you go. And devotees don't like to hear the blasphemy of the Lord, so Krishna decided, I'll give him my backup. So Shishupal's mother heard of this. And she came to Krishna and said, he's a good boy. You know, he's not so bad. He's just had some bad association. I know, he's my boy. He's not so bad. So Krishna said, all right, I'll give him 10,000 times. On the 10,000th time he blasphemes me, because my devotees cannot tolerate, I'll cut off his head with this Krishna. So we went on and on, you know, 9,834, 9,035, and finally it came to that famous Rajasuya sacrifice where they were going to elect a leader for the assembly, and different people were being put forward. And somebody said, why don't we let Krishna lead this assembly? He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, Shishupal had offended the Lord 9,999 times. So he stood up, he said, no. That Sudarsan took off his head. And his soul merged into the form of the Lord. So this Sudarsan, as it's described here, he has many weapons, actually. If you read further into the Bhagavatam in 7th canto, and, you know, we hear how the Lord Sringadev killed Hiranyakashipu with Sparsha with his nails, because Hiranyakashipu had taken a special benediction. He couldn't be killed by demigods or human beings or weapons or this, so the Lord had to kill him. But actually afterward, when the Lord fought with the demons, they didn't have that benediction. So you see the famous pictures of that ISKCON artists have done with Lord Sringadev with thousands of arms with various different weapons. So he has lots of weapons which he employs to purify the demons and protect his devotee. But all those weapons we learn today by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, kind of a transcendental insight. It's a transcendental insight. His favorite weapon is his discus. Prinanda Maharaj quotes Srila Prabhupada in the Krishna book. And Prabhupada's quoting Krishna. I shall never give up the symbols of Vasudeva, especially my disc. So just how important is this Sudarshan Chakra? We have to speak about it a little bit because what Prabhupada said. And we're just meant to really illuminate on the purports of our spiritual master. So Prabhupada he gives us a special insight. Sometimes he would give special insights. One time Prabhupada cooked some samosas and distributed to the devotees, and Tamal Krishna Goswami said, Prabhupada, I never tasted a samosa like this. Prabhupada just kind of nonchalantly said, yes, this is Mother Yashoda's recipe. And then Prabhupada kind of caught himself and said, Tamal Krishna, this is not in Jamuna's cookbook, this is not in, you know, Adi Raja's, you know. So how does this, these are special. Just like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur illuminates on the writings of Rupa Goswami. These are special treats for devotees. So Prabhupada has given us a special treat today in that he's revealed that the discus is the Lord's favorite weapon. And we can appreciate the Sudarsan Chakra by hearing the pranam mantra of Sudarsan Chakra. What is a pranam mantra? A pranam mantra, like, if you have your Guru Maharaj, then some scholarly devotee who knows Sanskrit and knows your Guru Maharaj well, he'll study and take the particular qualities that that devotee manifests or the success they've had in Krishna consciousness, and they'll summarize it in a prana mantra. Like Prabhupada, he made his own prana mantra because there was no one else who even knew Sanskrit or anything. So the devotees asked, we had the Nama Om, but Namaste Saraswati Devam Gauravani Pacharini. Glorifying him as a servant of Saraswati, Bhakti Sananda Saraswati. Prabhupada, all right, I will write one prana mantra. So he wrote his own prana mantra and gave it to the devotees. Thank God. So what is the prana mantra? What is the essence of the Sudarsan Chakra? Sudarshana Mahajwala Koti Surya Shema Prabha Anjana Timirandanam Vaikuntha Dapadar Chakar Namaste Nityavila Sad Vaishnava Shra Niketana Avyarya Viram Yad Rupam Vishnostad Panamam Yaham. O Sudarshan, your great effulgence is as brilliant as millions of suns. You dispel the darkness of ignorance and thus reveal the path to the eternal world of Vaikuntha. I offer my obeisances unto the brightly shining Sudarshan Chakra, which never fails to offer all protection to Vaishnavas. Hariom. I humbly bow down before Lord Vishnu's weapon of irresistible strength. Sudarshan Chakra Ki. So this chakra, which Prabhupada glorifies, which was the end of Pundraka, well, actually it was a new beginning, but we'll talk about that later. As we know, Lord Vishnu uses his Sudarshan chakra. He used it successfully and with Shishupal, I believe Salva also experienced the Sudarshan chakra. Many other demons. Durvasa Muni was chased by the Sudarshan chakra after he offended Maharaj Ambarish. Interestingly enough, in his Tatsandarbhas, Jiva Goswami reveals that Lord Balaram borrowed the chakra one time from Lord Krishna. What? Yes, another tidbit of interesting information from our acharyas. He says that after killing Balaram killed Dhanakasura, he asked Krishna, can I borrow your Sudarshan? So, yes. So Balaram threw the Sudarshan at Dhanakasura's head just to assure his friends the demon was actually dead. Cut off his head. You know, he was killed by the centrifugal force. Balaram threw him in the tree. The coward boys weren't convinced. They were so scared of Dhanakasura, and they were so scared they weren't going to get the fruits from the forest. That was their main motivation. This demon's not going to let us eat the fruits. So Balaram said, let me borrow your Sudarshan. Okay, the boys were pacified. Krishna also used the chakra, many of you know, those of you who are Govardhan Vasis, that when the Sambhataka clouds were inundating Vrindavan, Krishna lifted the Govardhan hill. Then Balaram asked Sudarshan Chakra, Vishnupta Gavadi Thakur says, Balaram asked Sudarshan Chakra to assist Krishna in protecting the Brajabasis. So the Sudarshan Chakra spun above Govardhan Hill and sprayed a lot of the water elsewhere. But then he describes that water came back and collected at the foot of Govardhan Hill. So Vishnupta Gavadi Thakur says, Govardhan also came down, I didn't know this until recently, and resided near the base of Govardhan Hill, spinning around to get all the water away. Sudarshan Chakra Ki. And, well, there's probably many pastimes, but we also know that Lord Chaitanya inadvertently, that proper to say, called upon the Sudarshan Chakra because he was so angry that his devotee had been offended. It's like a devotee is so angry when the Lord is offended. He's willing to cut out the tongue of the offender, defeat him with words. If he can't do that, he'll run away not to hear the blasphemy. So the Lord, because love is reciprocal, the Lord cannot tolerate his devotee being offended. The nature of love. It's a two-way street. So when Madai was hit, when Madai took the pot and hit Nitai on the head, the Lord came, Sudarshan! Nitai said, oh, wait a minute, this is not the right time. This is not, no, this isn't the wrong age. You're an incarnation of compassion, mercy. Yeah, but calm down, just give him your mercy. So I say inadvertently because the Lord let the Sudarshan go. And he gave unlimited mercy to Madai. He, of course, on the condition that he would give up his sinful ways. And, you know, looking at that Sudarshan there, I'll give up my sinful ways. And you'll chant, oh yes, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare. Hare. Then to show his compassion, Mahaprabhu picked up the two brothers, Jagai and Madhai, and he embraced them. And when he embraced them, his golden form turned blackish. Not like Shyam, not like Krishna, not that color. Actually, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, with our present eyes, we cannot see the beautiful color of Shamsundar. You need spiritual eyes. Your spiritual senses have to be purified. But he really took on a blackish color because of the sins of Jagai and Madai. And he told the assembled congregation of devotees, because he was training them up in Krishna consciousness, he said, if anyone offends a Vaishnava, I will give these sinful reactions of Jagai and Madai to that personality. Strict warning. So inadvertently, he called upon his Sudarshan. But more or less, it was just to establish his, to demonstrate his actual mood of being an incarnation of compassion and mercy. So the amazing thing is that when Pondraka was killed by the Sudarshan, he was liberated. We'll hear in a couple of purports that after his head was cut off, I'm a little tired because I just came from Moscow. After his head was cut off, he assumed his four-armed Vaikuntha form. Now, this is really amazing if you think about it. A rascal, imitator, imposter, he gets liberation. He goes to Vaikuntha. How is that? That can be understood in a beautiful prayer glorifying Lord and Sringadev. Om, Am, Hrim, Shrom, Om, Fat, Om, Tataka, Hataka. Keshagadilat, Padakolochana, Bhadharaka Naka, Sparsa Diva Simha Namostate. O my Lord, O Transcendental Lion, I offer my obeisances unto you along with Mother Lakshmi. Sometimes flying in the sky, sometimes moving on foot, your mane hairs glow with a wonderful brilliance. Your glance, obviously, and your nails are both the source of auspiciousness. So the demons, we get blessings when we come to see the Lord. We come for darshan. But darshan doesn't just mean we come to see the Lord. Darshan also means the Lord sees us. And by seeing us, we become purified. Not just we come to see Krishna. He loves his devotees. He likes to see us. He looks into our hearts. And every time we come, a little purification is there. Otherwise, what is the meaning of archana or deity worship? It's there for our purification. So his glance can purify, but also his nails can purify. So you have to choose, which one do you want, the glance or the nails? One might naturally want to think that if a demon is killed by the Lord, he goes to hell. In fact, Hiranyakashipu's last words are indicative of where he was going. There's a famous book called, you know, Famous Last Words. I saw it in the bookshop. What people said at the moment of death. I got so disgusted, you know, Mommy, Daddy, the dog, the car. No one said Hare Krishna. Yam yam vapi smaram avam tyajati antikaleva. So one's final words are indicative of how one has led his life, what desires one has cultivated. That's what we're practicing Krishna consciousness, so that it will be natural to think of Krishna at death. Hiranyakashipu didn't have any training in Krishna consciousness, so it can easily be seen what was his destination by his last words. Do you know his last words? Who would like to know the last words of Hiranyakashipu? Okay. It's in the Shubhashita Ratna Bandagara, verse 15. And I'll read. When Hiranyakashipu saw his servant running towards him in fear, he spoke as follows. Hiranyakashipu, what is it? What is it? His servant. Lord, it's a lion. Hiranyakashipu, so what? Servant. Oh Lord, he's a lion with a human body. I've never seen such a strange creature. Hiranyakashipu, if that's the case, bring him here. Servant, he's coming on his own. Hiranyakashipu, oh, bring my chapa, means bow. Bring my chapa, bring my chapa. Oh, his nails. May that Nisringadev, who thus tore the chest of Hiranyakashipu with his sharp nails, protect you all. Bhagavan Narasimhadev ki. So Baldev Brijabhushana, in his commentaries, he was a disciple of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, but not just any disciple. The Sai Prabhupada said, my Guru Maharaj was no ordinary spiritual master. So Baladev Bhushana was no ordinary disciple. He actually wrote Govinda Bhasya. His Guru Maharaj couldn't go to a debate, so it's a long story, but he went on behalf of his Guru Maharaj and defeated and defended our Sampradaya. So Prabhupada was so, himself was just so indebted to Baladev Bijabhushana that he dedicated his translation, Bhagavad Gita as it is, to Baladev Bijabhushana. So Baladev Bijabhushana, he comments, he says that Lord Nrisingadev's nails are actually a manifestation of Sudarshan Chakra. So demons, fate is different than we might think. Hiranyakashipu also got liberation. He now lives in Vaikuntha on Nrisingadev's planet, and he's a humble servant. He still has his mustache and his particular dress, but he's a humble servant of Nrisingadev. Why? Because he was killed by Hari. What does Hari mean? Hari means he who takes away all inauspiciousness. So, therefore, when we meet each other, we say Hari Bol. What does Hari Bol mean? Not necessarily, well, it means chant the name of Hari. Hari Bol. You could say chant Hare Krishna, which is another way of glorifying Hari, but specifically Hari Bol. Gaudiya Vaishnavas, Bengal, Vrindavan. Hari Bol, chant the name of Hari, because by chanting the name of Hari, Jeto Dharpana Marjana. All the dirty things go from the heart, and then the prema that is there within the heart of Avila, it has a chance to grow in a healthy environment. So, this is the incredible mercy of the Lord, that even those who are offenders to Him, He liberates. How tolerant we should be if someone offends us. We want to take action, we want to take vengeance. But the Lord sets the example. He doesn't seek vengeance, He seeks to purify them. This is the mood of a Vaishnava. So incredible is it that the Lord delivers the demons. Actually, it's so incredible that Uddhava, Sri Uddhava, once said to Vidura, Manye Shuran Bhagavatam Sturya Dishe Samramba Marga Bini Vishtachitan. I, Uddhava, consider the demons who are inimical to the Lord to be more than the devotees. Because while fighting with the Lord, absorbed in thoughts of enmity, they are able to see the Lord carried on the shoulder of Garuda, the son of Taksha, Kasyapa, and carrying the wheel weapon in his hand. It's a particular mood that Uddhava is discussing. He said, I consider these demons to be more fortunate because they face the Lord on the battlefield, and by seeing Him, they get the moksha, they get the liberation. Of course, the devotees are more than the demons because they achieve Goloka. When you get killed by Krishna, you generally get moksha. There's a few rare incidences where, you know, Pondraka, Shishupal, I guess it's not so rare. But devotees achieve Goloka. But Uddhava was saying like this because he's just, wow, the Lord is so kind to His enemies. In this regard, he also said to Vidura, alas, how shall I take shelter of one more merciful than He who granted the position of mother to a she-demon, Putana, although she was unfaithful and she prepared deadly poison to be sucked from her breasts? Uddhava here is referring to the fact that Putana, the great Rakshasi, in Vrindavan, who would kidnap and suck the blood of children. This is not some mythology, some fiction, something made up. This is history. This demoness would kidnap children and she would suck their blood dry. Kill them in this way. But she was granted more than moksha. When Krishna killed her, she went to Goloka and she became a nurse. That they say in India, wet nurse. It means literally what it means is when Yashoda is too busy to feed baby Krishna, Putana as her wet nurse, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes that Putana feeds him her breast milk mixed with her tears of prema. What could be more amazing than this? She's feeding her breast milk to baby Krishna. It's mixed with the tears of prema. O Govinda, feeling her separation, I'm considering a moment to be like 12 years old. Tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain. I'm feeling all vacant in the world in your absence. We repeat this over and over and over and over and over with the hope that one day we'll achieve that type of prema. And this Rakshasi, who used to suck the blood of children, she achieved it. What could be more amazing than this? Nothing. And that's evident in the fact that this one pastime of the deliverance of Putana, being delivered to Goloka, was actually what changed Shukadev Goswami into, who was a realized monist, an impersonalist. We have to be quite frank. He was a realized monist. He was in the womb of his mother for how many years? 16 or 17 years? And, you know, for someone who's Brahman realized, no matter you're in or out, it's all one. So he didn't come out. Shukadev Goswami. But finally he took birth, and what did he do upon taking his birth? He ran away from home. Ran away from his family. He was a renunciate, so he ran away from his family to reside in Nirvana in the forest. But his father, Srila Vyasadeva, wanted him back, so he had tried so many things to bring him back, and finally he came up with a very good idea. And that was to send his representatives, the various sages, to the forest, and have them repeat the beautiful verses of the Bhagavatam. The idea being that the all-attractive pastimes of the Lord are much more attractive than the Brahman. Millions upon billions, zillions of times more attractive than moksha is devotional service to the Lord. Bhimamangala Thakura has composed one beautiful prayer like that. Actually, we see that rarely, if ever, devotees become impersonalists. But very often, impersonalists become devotees. The four Kumaras are an example like that. So Srila Vyasadeva had this idea. Find Shukadev Goswami and repeat the beautiful verses of the Bhagavatam. 10th canto, the summary of the Bhagavatam. That's why Prabhupada felt it was so important to summarize the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam for his followers. Don't think that the Krishna book is anything less than the 10th canto. Shlokas and whatever purports are there now, both Prabhupada's and Hridayananda Goswami. No. Prabhupada writes in the Krishna book that this Krishna book one day will give solace to devotees, meaning ISKCON members, who come to the level of Vipralamba Bhav, or feeling separation from Krishna. It's possible. Why not? Certainly possible. By Prabhupada's mercy. To come one day or one lifetime. So when that happens, the only solace you'll get is hearing about the pastimes of the Lord. So there's the Krishna book for you. Don't think it's just, oh, something I read when I first joined. No. It's the summary. It's made, what is there in the 10th canto is made easily accessible by Srila Prabhupada's purport. Sometimes they say Prabhupada didn't give us the higher truths. It's not true. As Yamuna Devi said and is quoted in the beautiful book by Dinatarin, if I could just realize one of Prabhupada's basic instructions in 10,000 lifetimes, I would consider myself to be most fortunate. Jumuna Devi Dasi Ki. But it will come, because that is Prabhupada's desire. So then the Krishna book will be there. So these pastimes, Krishna's pastimes, especially in the 10th canto, is Vrindavan pastimes. They're the highest, and they'll melt the heart. Any impersonalist. So the sages went, and they were repeating, and nothing was happening. And then one sage, this particular pastime, he recounted how the Putana witch, who was Rakshasi, had been killed by Krishna because Krishna took, she's giving her milk, she's like my mother, so she can be my mother in Goloka. When Shukadev Goswami heard how the Rakshasi became a wet nurse, I will become Vaishnava. And he left the forest, and he came back. It's a very important pastime. It's a very important verse. The Gaudiya Vaishnav scholars discuss this sometimes. It's so important. And actually, Jiva Goswami in his Tattva Sandarbha, he writes, according to Baladev, the verses chanted by the sadhus that were sent by the sadhus to Shukadev that were sent by Vyasadev told everything about Krishna's elevating the Putana witch to the position of an eternal nurse. That's in the Tattva Sandarbha. I was looking for it, I couldn't find it, and Shivaram Swami helped me find it. So, in conclusion, because I only have a couple minutes left, it appears that if you become a demon, you can get moksha, and maybe you can get prema, but you have to be a really big demon. And people are bad in Kali Yuga, but they're not that bad. They're not that bad. There's no Ravanas, there's no Hiranyakashipus. So I wouldn't bet on that. Okay, you know, I got these bad habits, I'm just going to leave and work on the bad habits. Like, no. One should rather use one's intelligence to achieve these goals. You know, we're not so concerned about liberation. Nadanam, najanam, nasundarim, kavicham, vajagadishakamai, mama janmani, janmani, shwabhavatam. Birth after birth, I don't care. If I can be your servant, if I can be the servant of your servant, birth after birth, I'm happy. If you want me to continue your mission in this world, birth after birth, for me, that's Vaikuntha. That's no anxiety. That's Goloka. Serving your desire. That's prema. To give more than you receive. That's prema. So I can do that here or there. So mama janmani, birth after birth. Goloka, yes. That's the ultimate goal. But there's an easier way than being a demon. Rather than be like the Nakasura, Shishupal, Pondraka, Putana, we should simply follow the very simple and sublime instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, made even more simple and more sublime, time, place, and circumstance, by Sri Prabhupada, from 64 to 32 to 16. One time he said, if you can't become 100% Krishna conscious, just become 80%. And devotees in LA, oh, I don't know if I can be in. Then Prabhupada took his charter and got off the Vyasa Sangha. All right, 76% Krishna conscious. So as Lord Chaitanya is the most merciful incarnation, Prabhupada is his most merciful representative. And he's given us this process of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram. Dancing in ecstasy this morning with Adana Swami. Hearing this beautiful katha and the illuminating purports of Prabhupada, Baladev, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, taking prasadam. Why take the stairs when you can take the elevator? It just doesn't make sense. Bhakti Sridhana Saraswati Thakur said one time, I see no reason why all my disciples cannot go back to Godhead in one lifetime. So we can achieve the same result, but by the combined mercy of Guru and Gauranga, through the sublime process given by Mahaprabhu, which was so nicely summarized by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya in one of his 100 prayers, glorifying Lord Chaitanya when he realized he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we'll conclude with this prayer, which we should meditate on to achieve that perfection, rather than making the mistake of following the demons. From the time that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the sacred form of love for Krishna, gave out his gifts of prema, the sinner, the ascetic, the drunkard, the dacoit, the rogue and the thief, all very grateful to him, completely abandoned all sense enjoyment as if it was a deadly poison. And then, very intoxicated, like you were this morning, loudly sang the holy names of Krishna until they sank exhausted into the ocean of Krishna prema. Rantara Srimad Bhagavatam Aki, Srila Prabhupada Aki, Srishi Gauranitai Aki, Srishi Krishna Balaram Aki, Sisi Rasam Sundar ki, Sri Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki, Gaur Premanande. No time for questions.